But the reality is that I think we can deal with it. I just need to know what they're doing up there. And that hasn't been decided. I mean, we go back and forth between industrial park, homes. I know there's a group up in the west side of town that would really like to see the 50 homes. I went to one of the meetings and a group of parents came in, and I remember this guy saying, I came here tonight absolutely going to stop you from building homes. And then, of course, when he talked about the industrial park and the condos, he said, I'm here tonight to beg you to build those. So that's the status of the new school. By the way, behind these folks is some drawings. It is an absolutely gorgeous school. For those of you who aren't familiar with construction, this is what they refer to as a green school. What does that mean? The school has virtually no masonry and no steel. The school is completely post and beam, and the trees are grown for the sole purpose of building buildings. It would have an incredible interior. I don't know if you know this, but wooden beams break at a much higher temperature than steel beams. Steel beams will curl, bend at a much lower temperature than those beams will burn through them. It would have a zinc coating on the outside, and that's sort of a picture at the bottom. But it's a really neat school because the design called for two sets of classrooms with skylights across the top. This would be the academic section, with the top having all skylights, okay? And then on the second floor, there would be huge open areas with fencing around it, so the light would travel down from the second floor down to the first floor. The school is extremely efficient, double and triple pane windows. This would be the administrative office. The back section is the library that would lead out ceiling to floor windows to a amphitheater back here where children can read and we'd run some programs up there. A cafetorium, gymnasium, and a full-size soccer field, which is kind of neat because this is a 1-3 grade, which is pretty steep, so people could park their cars here, put a blanket on the hill, and really enjoy the soccer or lacrosse or whatever. And of course, if you know anything about Reading, they need more fields. There is some thought in the future about adding another baseball field over here, a little neat field and a softball field. It would be a beautiful school because it would be a lot of vegetation around it. Those of you who live near any of our seven schools, there is no vegetation. I mean, they're right up against the street. The school would be nicely designed. They're a good architectural firm. They've done a lot of work in a lot of towns. Their specialty is schools. We're pretty excited about it because it is an environmentally clean school that would run off of natural gas, and just because of its design. We also wanted to make it a learning center, and the boiler room was going to have several portholes of different types so children could look into the boiler room. The boiler room would be color-coded, with the hot water pipes being one color, cold water, steam, all labeled so children could look in it and literally see a botanical room. That's what the new school looks like. Any other questions? Andover, I don't remember the last time they didn't get an override. It had several. They have built several new schools, renovated quite a few schools, and I believe they have another override coming up on an operational budget. Andover has been more like a Reading in the sense of a child base, but they've been digging a lot deeper on overrides. North Reading is different in the sense that where Reading is sort of landlocked, North Reading has hundreds and hundreds of acres of open space that's now being, homes are being built. And so they're going through some changes, and I know my colleague is, with the batch office school and things like that. There's people who just don't want to build another school. And I honestly believe that there's probably a group in town that would pay the 20 3 million, 5 million or more to keep a four-school scenario going to 5 schools. And that's where you come in, and it's really up to the community. Well, yeah, but there's a couple things you need to know. Because of the $2 million, it's, you know, because of the inflation, I'm going to have to go back to the town for that. And the town is going to have to approve it, and the town is going to have an override for the $2 million.
But the construction costs have come down.
Somewhat.
So there should be some mitigation.
Somewhat. Not as much as we would like. I mean, I don't disagree that it's not going, I agree it's not going up, but it's I don't know if you've read, you know, one of the indicators that the Fed use is new home starts. And the last year, new home starts were an all-time high. There's construction costs are still pretty high until that market stops. And the guys right now, and I'm also caught into a big dip. That is an endless hole of money. We lost our entire electricians on our Coolidge project for a week because a foreman came up one day from the big dig, was ordered to find a dozen electricians, went to where these guys were eating lunch, and they all quit the company they were working for in Northeast and went to the big dig the next day at about $5 or $10 more an hour.
This has been bid out. Is it
going to
be union or not union?
Oh, it has to be union.
It has to be union.
It's been bid out, and it came in, I don't remember the exact, so $500,000 over and $700,000 over. So you've got that overage, plus you've got the delay, you know, just the inflation. So there was an overage to start with. So I'm going to have to go back to the town. I mean, $2 million. Town meeting has to approve it, but where this project, there's money that we've saved for it, the $2 million overage has not been saved. So we're going to have to go to an override. And so if the town rejects the $2 million or whatever it is, okay, then the school department has two choices. One would be to renovate the Barrow School without the 6 additional classrooms, because there's enough money to do the Barrows without the 6 classrooms. And then to cut back on the new school project. But the state is going to say, whatever you do with our money, you better solve your long-term enrollment. And if we can't prove to them, cutting back on these projects is going to do that. Now, if Spencer Longwood goes more toward, you know, residential versus condo or whatever, that could have a new burden. And that's a wild card. I mean, all these numbers I've just showed you, I've never included Longwood or Spence part of the equation. So you don't have enough art, you don't have enough music. You've got 3 classes in Coolidge, 6 portables, growing enrollment, and on top of that, you got these 2 projects. I have no clue what they're going to bring to the school department. I mean, I'm convinced, I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I'm absolutely convinced that 5 years from now, the people coming, you know, thinking about buying a home, some guy's going to stand up or some woman in a meeting and say, I think there should be an investigation of why the superintendent has not found or developed a long-range plan to solve the elementary enrollment problem here. And then, you know, I'll probably take some hostages, find me some college church, chief will talk me down. I go to a place where I can talk to people all day long. Oh yeah, I mean, I'm convinced somebody's going to come to me 5 years from now and doesn't know anything about all this stuff and say to me, why didn't you plan for this? Why is my child in a portable at Birch Meadow or portable at Barrow? And I'm going to smile and say, why aren't I thinking that? Then take hostages from it. What's that? This is a great town. Please.
This probably is a naive question, but how are enrollment figures generated with, like, who generates them and how are they generated?
It's a good question. There was a presentation that should be running on RCTV by the company that did it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of factors, okay? One is that we have 16% of the people who live in, 16.9% of the people who live in Reading are over 65. we know that within the next 10 years that 16.9% will sell off those homes. Okay? For one reason or another. That's a very high number. We also have in the next 5 years live births that we record. We know the number of children in any given window of 5 years. We know the births from 2001, we know the births from 2000. And there's two sets of births. One has to do with the Department of Public Health, which gets all the birth certificates from all over the world that are referencing Reading out of state, and then there's Reading that does their own. And usually DPH is higher, okay? The other is, whatever has happened in the last 10 years, they project will happen in the next 10 years. Using the last 5 years twice as much as the 10 years before, and moving forward, using the live birth twice as much in the first 5 years than the next 5 years of projecting. It's called a cohort survival. It's a formula. I have documentation that shows it's one of the best methods. What it doesn't do, and there's no way to predict, is what impact the economy has. An example would be that if you bought a house between 1988 and 1993 in the Birch Meadow area, you were one of several hundreds of people. Those homes turned over in an 18-month period like no tomorrow. Where my colleague in North Reading, that is hundreds of acres, you know, guy's got to deal with this guy at Longwood's doing. It takes a while. You got to go get permits. You got to get zoning changes. You have to line up bids. You got to line. It takes years to do that. What happened in the Birch Meadow district happened real quick because the house is there and all these people sold them off. Now the other district that has all the makings, being the Birch Meadow of the late 80s, early 90s, in Barrows. There is a significant number of people living in the Barrows district who are in the early 90s, who are in their 50s, and are now in their late 60s. And they are making up that a lot of those 16.9. If the economy comes out in the next few years, we think those homes are going to turn over real quick. You know, you hear people talking about, you know, people can't afford taxes. Nobody in Reading loses their house because they can't pay taxes. No matter if you can't pay a dime, the town just signs an agreement that when the thing goes to probate, we'll get out of this. You can stay in that house forever. As long as you're alive, you can stay in that house. The other thing is, people like you to believe that people can't afford to pay taxes. I asked Beth Klepeis, who's the town treasurer, and town finance director. She said the last couple of years, she's never seen a time in 20, 30 years where more people have paid their taxes. You know, one of the things you do when you got a shortage of money is go after people who are delinquent. And a lot of times it's the large companies and you can get like a million. Well, we can't go after anyone because a significant number of people who live here are paying taxes, which means the economy's good. And so we've gone from a certain high of people not paying to almost virtually everyone paying their taxes. So all the revenue sources that we look at to try to go after, you know, people are always funny, if you will. We kind of tap them out. We know all the places to go, it's just they're just the money. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, and you said the actual numbers are somewhere on the CTV. They have for the enrollment.
There was
what would be
a...
I'd be interested to know the change over the years, up and down.
Yeah, I can do that for you.
Okay.
It was just in the paper.
Yeah, was it? In the Chronicle? Okay, I don't get the Chronicle, so I probably should. My dog eats the papers on a regular basis, so.
Good night, folks. Good to see you.
Thank you so much.
These are enrollment figures. These aren't our latest, but our latest are pretty similar to this. I also have class sizes for next year. Understand that where the stars are, those are going to drop one teacher. So those are going to, which are now 21-20 are going to go to 27-28. I also have some pretty good MCAS scores. I'll give you an example. Let's see here now. Where are the Barrows people? Barrows people. Last year's third grade students, who are now fourth grade, when they took the MCAS, they ranked 54th in Massachusetts out of 1,073 elementary schools. Where are the Joshua Eaton? Joshua Eaton third graders, they scored 7th in Massachusetts out of 1,073 schools. It's similar with the other schools. Anyways, I've got that for you.
Okay, thanks.
Let's see what else we have. Oh, here's a good one. This shows you how we compare on public school spending as compared to the other towns in Middlesex. We're last in regular day, second to last in special ed, and last in overall. This is all the general school department propaganda.
Well, why would I stay if I'm a random teacher?
Why? Because it's a good work environment. We try very hard to pay our teachers in the middle of the Middlesex League. There's a high level of mutual respect. There's a lot of academic freedom. We're putting in a mentoring program next year that anyone new, we pay a veteran teacher to buddy them for at least the first year and as many years as they need, up to three. So there's a person that works with you, which you've never done before. And all in all, the parents are real supportive. We have hundreds of volunteers that come into school, and there's not a pretentiousness of coming in that I know. I like to refer to Reading as a community made up of people who grew up in blue-collar traditional families who are first-time white-collar workers who want to maintain the value system that they grew up with. And that's pretty unique.
Get back to the West Side of the State has issued for a while. They have one of the archives. Analogy to the business world, right? The best man, the best run company, the best run management, the best leadership, because they're valued better than other people. So my hope is that the teacher from Reading, when it's 27 versus 22, they're going to beat the North Reading teacher because they're better. And that's what's worthwhile. I'll give them a couple of extra kids in the class because I think they're better. I have to believe that.
We're the only school system in Middlesex County, and you've got the list, Lexington, Belmont. We're the only one that pays $1,400 a year for a college education. So, you go to get a master's, we'll give you $1,400 toward your coursework. There's no other school system that does that much. There's a lot of those kind of things that we do that I agree with. I mean, there's a commercial that I really like that I like to equate to this whole thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's an airline commercial. It's a pan shot of a bunch of businessmen sitting in a room, kind of looking through the windows of the cubicles. They're all sitting together. And this sort of like the CEO, sleeves are rolled up, wearing a vest or something. And he's got all the guys sitting around, all the salespeople, and he says, I got a call from an old friend today. He said that we taxed them too much, we beat them too much, we sell them too much. We electronically dealt with them. He said we had lost touch. So he said, he starts handing out plane tickets and he says, we're going to go visit some old friends. And he has all the sales would go on to the customers, right? That's what this is all about. It's a really neat approach, okay? You know, when you stand up at town meeting, there are people who heckle you. Not heckle you per se, but you say something about this and they counter, just like the paper. This is the only opportunity I've had in 7 years to have a discussion and not have somebody say to me, you're a liar, you're making those numbers up, you know, that kind of stuff. All I want to do tonight is raise your consciousness, to have you go and get all the documents. I've got them here. I've got budgets for you. I've got enrollment numbers. I've got projected enrollments. I've got test scores. I've got spending, all that stuff. And you decide. I mean, if what we're doing is we're selling you a bag of goods, well, then we're doing a good job, because for $900 less than the state average, your kids are doing really, really well. And you're hearing from the guy who's at the top telling you, it doesn't matter how much they cut my budget. Your kid's still going to get a good education. It just matters whether they get foreign language in elementary school or high school.
It seems like there's a next step that I have to believe with the talent of some of the people that you're meeting with. You're educating and you're building awareness, and you'll get a few of us excited, but there's got to be an organized next step.
That's where we come in. There is a group of four of us that have been meeting on a regular basis to try to, first of all, to put these meetings together and to get a good attendance at these meetings, and then our next step going forward after people are educated is to really band together and hopefully really influence decisions and, you know, get these overrides passed, get the $2 million extra for the school, and go from there.
I mean, the bottom line is what we're doing here is no different than what I do at PTO meetings. The difference is I'm bringing you in way before you're connected to the school and saying to you, here are our problems, here's some issues. If we use our talent pool, okay, I mean, there are going to be meetings. There are going to be emails. There are going to be conversations that are going to take place. And I believe that, you know, if I open the door, I think you can figure out how to bring it completely open. And again, you know, people who live in this town, as much as any, are innately suspicious of government. I mean, let's face it. If I was really smart, would I be working in a town government? I'd be working in a private corporation. Would you go to a hospital, a state county hospital, to have brain surgery, or would you go to your private doctor? So, you know, there are people that say, the people who work in government, people like me, you know, we're not the sharpest or the best at what we do.
I'm with him. I think the point of what I am, especially where I'm at today, but I guess I came here hoping to find a way to help with some businesses. And what I'm hearing is, not a business in a bad way, we've got all that covered. You know, we know how to cut costs, we drive efficiency, we're running the best ship we possibly can. We just need you to help us implement.
That's probably true. And what I can tell you is that if there's some talent or expertise that can help us do what we're doing better, okay? I mean, I can tell you that those people who work for me, who come out of the business world, you know, can't believe in the efficiency. I mean, I'll give you a real good example, all right? We put a brand new roof during construction on the Eaton School. The company who put that roof on, we knew had problems. But they were low bidder. And under Massachusetts general law, I gotta go with the low bidder. So every year since that school's been built, I've been spending about $10,000 to $12,000 to fix that roof. Why? Because the guy, you know, I had one of the taxpayers in town went by with Joshua Eaton and said to me, why is the gutters falling down? Why aren't you fixing them? Okay? The reason is the guy put up aluminum gutters and the thing was supposed to be bid to copper gutters, which are much more sturdy and should hold up a lot longer. But the town cut the project from $10 million to $6 million. Again, we went with low bid. There's certain things that I can't do that people can do in every other dimension. It's a slower process. It's a more open process. A guy could walk up to me right now and tell me he could do the electrical work at the Barrow School for $5,000 less than anybody else. But under Massachusetts general law, we've got to bid. And what people have done, some people have done, is tried to create suspicion in government, this administration, this school committee, this selectman, this town manager, that we're not running suspicion. That there are ways to cut our corners. That there are things that we're mismanaging with money. And I say to my critics, show me a dollar that we've spent. Show me $2 we've spent that has not been used correctly, that it's not gotten better dividends. I would like to use more business practices. I mean, I got some entrepreneur things going on right now to draw revenue. Maybe this is what you're talking about, and I didn't get it. We normally send our special education children out of the district. They may cost $40,000, $60,000, $80,000 of transportation every year for 13 years. We decided that we had one extra room at the Coolidge that wasn't being used. So we hired a teacher for $45,000, and we have two Reading students in that program. So already we saved our cost, because it would have cost about $40,000, so it would have been $80,000. So for a teacher at $40,000, okay? But I took it to the next step. I advertised in the surrounding town that for $30,000, if you've got a kid that fits this program, I'll take it. And so I've generated $200,000 this year to offset my rise in my cost. Now I get calls from people that say I'm prostituting the system, that I'm, you know, selling away my spaces. The fact of the matter is, I'm only selling two or three spaces, and I can put up to 12 kids in there, and I've only got two ready kids in there. You know, unless it's this bus that shows up at my front door. But again, those are some of the things we do. But you get criticized even for doing those kind. Is those the kind of?
I mean, I a couple of comments. One, I think I would be just like you. If I get criticized, you're cynical because you got these six people hounding you. When in fact, I think a lot of people feel the way I do, in that I'm sure you could go in the private sector and make a lot more money. We appreciate you in the spot.
By the way, that wasn't to tell you that I want to go.
No. I
have this chip in the back of my head that says I'm coming.
I look at it and I'm happy you do what you do. And I want to help you. But it seems like we need a plan, a specific plan, so that we're not focusing on gutters, but we identify that, you know, these are the three or five things that we need to do. And who do we need? We need sourcing people. We need, you know, financial people.
Right.
We need marketing people.
Right.
And part of these types of gatherings, we're soliciting. And look, you have this type of expertise, or can you support someone that has this type of expertise?
Okay.
And I think
I hear exactly what you're saying. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, what's your first name? Where's that tape going to go?
Just my husband, because I couldn't get him here.
It's not going to go to the papers or anything like
no,
that?
No, I would have told you that.
Okay.
I would have told you that.
Let me tell you what this is all about. This is all about you people coming together, having regular meetings, 50 meetings. This is about finding the greatest talent pool that's in there, having people go into the market, having some people start to follow school committee meetings, selectmen, okay, getting your people in elected positions, putting your people at town meeting, and basically the 300 people saying, this is how we want the money spent. Obviously, I have to be very careful about, you know, because I don't enjoy reading about my deficiencies on it. Hour by hour, day by day. Now, obviously, I've got